it's gonna be a fun day. Finally, we have a survivor talking with us in the podcast, which is like different from usual because usually just a bunch of like entitled killer mains giving
our disgusting.
So I'm happy that we could like switch it up a little bit. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to like dive into this too. I think it's, you know, we both play Survivor very much enough to know or understand that landscape, but I think the difference is our communities aren't necessarily made up entirely of that demographic. And so we may not as explicitly understand and hear the pressure and pain points of survivors as often. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of like garbage in there of people just like delete Trickster and like, okay, you know, okay, we're talking about that. I'm very, very excited.
Yeah. And it's not even that. It's because like me and you do play both sides and we get that. But I feel because we primarily do killer stuff, I think a lot of people kind of do discredit our stuff when we mention balancing when it comes to both sides a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not people that we see or are, you know, our usual viewers, but, you know, someone's going to come along.
It's the shit talkers. Exactly. It's the people in the DMs.
Exactly. So sure. At least now, and I'm excited to have like a heated debate where we all argue and disagree with each other. That's going to be awesome.
Bring it on. I have more hours than you both. That's probably not true. I actually don't know how many hours you guys have.
3,152.
And then? Somewhere around 30,900.
I do have more hours than both of you, so by default, I win.
There's some Steam Andes out there that are like, I have 10,000 hours. Let me tell you.
My opinion of 10,000 hours. Correct.
Thing is, each side likes to discredit each other, you know, like
it's counterproductive. I do want to ask, are you like French Canadian or
no? I'm from the Netherlands.
That's okay. That's what I was couldn't tell. It is so slight, your accent. It's just kind of in the back. And I was like, I can't figure it out.
Yeah, awesome. I've been told that before. I don't have like a standard Dutch accent. Like if I get nervous, it comes out more. But people always ask me, where are you from? Are you Irish? And I'm like, what? No.
What?
That does not sound I wouldn't have guessed Irish.
No.
It's so funny. People assume that I'm like a mix in American or something else. Like it's hilarious.
Is Netherlands in Canada? It is, right?
No.
I don't know.
Wait, what?
That's Nova Scotia, baby.
I'll cut that out of the podcast.
No, that's Nova Scotia, maybe.
I'm trying to think of like, anyways, doesn't matter. Dylan, open this up.
I think you did a good job. All right, guys, welcome back. I hope that had better stay. Welcome back to I'm All Ears, of course, a Dead by Daylight podcast where Dro, myself, and sometimes a third wonderful guest will cup our ear to the fog and listen to what you, the community, are saying regarding updates and balancing and character lore, popular requests, etc. Of course, we gotta get it out of the way. We did hit 100 subscribers on YouTube, so thank you guys for that. We do, I will say, right? We live in America, and enough is never enough. Give us more. There's a lot of you that listen to us very regularly. Hop on over to YouTube. Even if you don't watch over there, just give us a sub. You'll set it and forget it. No big deal. That would help us out, push us out in the algorithm so we could reach more people. Mm-hmm. And of course, rate us on Spotify. We're still the highest, the number one rated Dead by Daylight podcast. So... cheers to that.
I also just want to add real quick with the YouTube, because Dylan's ripping you guys a new one, I will compliment you guys. We did get like 70 subs since the last podcast.
Oh, did we? Okay.
Yeah. And
you a new one.
And our last video did 350 views compared to like 95 and 100. So y'all, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So thank you guys for that. Yeah. Now, today, extra, extra special guest. All of our guests are extra, extra special, so in theory, they're all the same. But we do have a great topic to talk about today. We have brought on a survivor main who has billions of hours in
the game. 2 billion.
Years in the game. do you want to introduce yourself, give us a little background, where people could find you, etc.?
Yeah, of course. Well, hi, everyone who's listening. Thank you for having me on the podcast, Dylan and Drew, of course. I very much appreciate it. I am a Dead by Daylight content creator, 25 years old from the Netherlands. I do want to firstly apologize for my accent. If you, you know, can't hear me properly, I stutter a little bit. I mispronounce words. So, you know, if that gets in the way, I apologize. But hopefully it's not going to be unbearable. You can find me mainly on my Twitch channel, which is just Sharon on Twitch, or on my YouTube channel, which is Sharon Dead by Daylight. You will find me instantly. And yeah, all you kind of need to know is that I'm very blunt and honest, and I'm gonna give it to you straight. And if you don't like that, then you might not vibe with me, but hopefully you will get to know me more throughout this podcast and my DBD opinions, and I'm sure it will be a great podcast.
I love that intro. I was gonna be like, I thought you're gonna say, if you don't like it, get out, you know.
Yeah.
But you're really nice about it.
I love discussions, and some people get so upset when I'm just honest with them. It's a love-hate relationship. I love that I'm honest and blunt, but like some people just can't handle that. And that's fine. If you can't handle that, then, you know, that's okay too. Some people are more sensitive, and that's fine. There are billion streamers out there, and if you find, you will find the one that you're looking for eventually.
Amen.
Well, preach. There's always a fine line too between like, what is honesty as opposed to like what is being like mean, right? A lot of because in mainstream media it's like, well, I'm just blunt and honest, and like that person's actually just a dickhead, you know?
No,
what
that's
I mean
true.
So your tone, the way you carry yourself, you're capable of being honest while not being rude or destructive. There's a difference, and I think that's a really important line to draw right now in case somebody was like defensive, like, oh, she's
so
best. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm excited to have you here. The reason why I asked Sharon to be here, I have a lot of very good discussions with Sharon during their streams. We don't always see eye to eye. It's we don't, but it makes me think, you know. And what is a better discussion that makes me think about my own opinion after having a discussion? I think those discussions are like the best ones to have. And you know, I'm kind of hoping to have a little bit of a, like a feud. our first podcast, like Twitter drama.
I'll try my best.
Manufactured for the masses.
Killing me is a trash.
So our mains are entitled.
I agree. We're not gonna fight well if you're just coming for the throat like that. I am a trickster. No,
let's go. Well,
so we wanted to dive in today, Sharon, and talk about really where you think the state of the game is regarding Survivor, how Survivor has felt. Obviously, there was a bit of a reckoning when Killers got these really minor 0.3 second change here, 0.3 second change there, but also Ruin was gutted, Pop was gutted, DS is gone. So really the state of the game, we've talked about it, but where do you lie and where do you think the general community consensus is regarding these changes now that they've settled and the hysteria is over and we can calm down? What do you think is going on with Survivor? How does it feel right now?
I personally feel, especially after Reassurance and the buff to the base kit BT, it's been a lot better. Like over the last 2 years, I've had a lot of struggles with it. It slowly went a little bit more downhill. It became more painful. I started to finally realize why everyone was complaining about solo queue, because I'm primarily a solo queuer. And I am also in the lower MMR because I just die too much to get up there. But I do feel like right now, in this current moment, it feels pretty good. Reassurance has definitely made a staple in this game that Killers cannot just sit around the hook anymore and benefit from them. I definitely, in my games at least, see that Killers are actively moving away from the hook when someone comes, instead of just standing by the hook and waiting, you know, until someone gets grabbed off the hook. Before the Reassurance and base kit board time, it was awful. It was really bad. What we consider the biggest update in DBD, which, you know, with all the perks being gutted, meta being changed and all that stuff, was both the best thing that could have happened and the worst thing that could have happened. Because even though most changes were killer favored, in my opinion, and which was good. I stand for that. Like, I am a Survivor main, but I very much promote them buffing Killers and making things more balanced, because I am a beta player. I've seen how this game, you know, from the very start, and Killer always needed love, and it still needs love even to this day. But Survivor's got nothing, you know? Like, there are three issues in Survivor, which is solo queue and Survivor France, the difference between that. The meta, which is the anti-gen meta of Killers. And I'm starting to forget what the third one was. What was it? I swear to God, I had this noted down. And now I don't remember anymore. Oh, the tunneling and camping. How could I forget? What the?
And, the and most important one.
I know the most important thing. I don't know. But nothing got addressed during the biggest update. Because Decisive Strike got gutted. The basketball time kit was absolutely bad. It was tragic. And no one started running board time because everyone was like, well, the basketball time is there, so I don't need to run board time anymore. It was a great patch for killers, but they really gave no love to survivors because even the anti-gen meta that they so-called destroyed is still there. They buffed other generator perks, pain resonance, which probably was the best nerf everything. In that patch, they buffed again or they reverted, so it's back in the game. So it was really a big win for killers, which is fine, but a big loss for survivors, in my opinion, which felt a little bit unfair. Like, they did say, like, oh, we're gonna, you know, give both sides a little bit of love, and it didn't feel like that happened at that moment. But I definitely feel right now, I feel like DBD is in one of the best states it's ever been. It's unfortunate because the community is just in the worst state it's ever been, like, emotionally and mentally. Like, the community is just, you know, my opinion.
Yeah. I've never heard someone say that before, but it's very true. I'm going to say that I think DBD is in the best state. Since I've been playing, the best state it's been in a long time. But I do agree with the sentiment that, like, the community is not in the best state that it's ever been. I never thought about it that way, but it's kind of true. I don't know. Dylan's giving me a weird look. Yeah.
I think this is a good example, and this is just my opinion, so tell me to fuck off, but I think this is a really great example of how short our memories are when it comes to this game, because I think Resident Evil Chapter, last year, Nemesis, disabling RPD, numerous awful bugs, right? Server lag, rolling right into an MMR season, rolling right into Hellraiser, NFT Hell, rolling right into Boons. I think that was the climax of this community being its most ravenous to take a punch or a swing at somebody, whether it's a developer or a content creator who was standing up, because it was not just game problems. MMR, awful. Just it was hard to communicate it. It was a huge change. And it felt like if you talked about MMR, it was just a bloodbath. But I think after Resident Evil being just the worst launch the game's ever had for a DLC, I think a number of issues, and then just like having to disable the map on top of most people just not liking the map at all. I think that was the worst state for the community. Interesting. But I will say, I think there's something to what Sharon has said, is I think two Resident Evil chapters across 2 years, I think the community has grown a bit, or old players have, you know, left and new players are coming in, and I think that there is a lot in that churn a little bit in terms of like player not frustration but attitude, because it may not be frustration, but I think there is a boom in more negative content creators. Not naming names, right? But obviously there's a fuel to the fire there. So I think there definitely are like frustrations that are out there. So I don't want to say that's not the case. I don't think the Twitter shit posts and memes and like shit talking, and I don't think that's maybe as present or prevalent as it was in my mind as it was last year.
I guess you're right. To be fair, though, I also like completely blocked out those last 6 months because of the whole healing meta and MMR. Like, if I think about it, I think I'll have anxiety. So, like, for me, those last couple of months are completely written off for me, because I was that during that time period is when the more I think about it, the more I agree with it. Because the more, like, I almost quit DBD throughout that time period. So that makes, and like, for me, who's like, you know, it's a content creation job, for me to consider that, it's like a pretty big thing, you know?
Well, I think 2021 was a total dark year for Dead by Daylight, because I mean, we had all these like releases and stuff, but like when Michaela and the artist came out, we had streamers being DDoSed and swatted. And like, it was just like, there was always something. If it wasn't NFT hysteria, then it was like streamers being at risk, or it was like super, it seemed like it was so much more than just people being pissed at bugs or game state, right? It was like, that'll never change. But it felt like it was just like, what is happening over there? Behavior, what are they doing? You know what I mean? Just like, it felt very strange. But I think that player sentiment, and I think looking at the patch, with the way that you spoke about it, and looking at survivors getting anything, I definitely think the messaging leading up to all of it was maybe a little bit misleading in terms of like leveling the playing field. I mean, off the record's better than DS ever will be. I'm sorry. It's so true. But like, I think there was, it was supplement. DS got pulled, off the record got put in, but there was not a lot of bonuses. There was not a lot of additive extra things. It was a quick swap, and like, you got base kit BT, and it's kind of okay. And then that was kind of like really it. So like, I can agree with that sentiment in its entirety, I think.
Yeah, and it just didn't make sense, you know? Like, they literally said in the past, hey, we recognize camping and tunneling is a big issue, so we're going to nerf DS, which was like a complete, like, shocker face. Like, why? You just admitted to saying that camping and tunneling is becoming a big issue. You're implementing basket BT into the game, which was at the beginning really awful. Luckily they buffed in, but then why do you remove decisive strike? Like, why do you, like, I agree with the end game change, because the end game decisive strike was cheesy. Agree, don't like that at all, but why make the stun reduce? Like, why why the shorter stun, right?
Yeah, because
like,
I was gonna say that we agreed to this in the past, because we also, decisive strike getting that nerf with a 3-second timer, we didn't understand it either. Because with the decisive strike, when the decisive strike goes off and then you drop and then you start running, you basically have like 1.5 seconds to make distance. And without a sprint burst mechanic, like if you get hit, you don't get very far. So we didn't get the whole change to decisive strike from that point of view either. I did heavily agree with the endgame decisive strike change, because that stuff was bullshit. Pardon my language. nothing was more awful than people just forcing out the decisive strike. So I do agree with that. So I do like that a lot of perks with that has that kind of mechanic, because off the record is the same way. I do agree with that. But I do agree that nerfing decisive strikes based stun didn't make too much sense to me. As well as I personally, because I'm not a heavy camper or tunneler, I would guess. I will do it every now and then because I have to sometimes. So sorry.
Shame on you.
But like, I never really attempted to tunnel and camp people all the time. So when they added that like base BT, I didn't really notice it anyways. I thought it was a good thing personally, because I just played as if everyone had BT before anyways, so I didn't tunnel people regardless. So hearing that you thought it was bad is good to hear, because I also thought that originally I thought that the buff to base BT was too much. I thought
it was too easy to wait out, right? Like the first iteration of base kit BT was like, cool, 3 seconds.
You couldn't make it anywhere.
Like, but the haste bonus, I think, is a huge, like, now that the haste 10%? Is longer as well, I think that that's...
And it's a 10% haste bonus. I think that's I don't think any other haste mechanic gives you that much haste, right? I think the max is usually 7.
So
10 is like, it's very noticeable, I feel, whenever I get unhooked and I run away. So do like that as well. I still get tunneled in camp, which I guess is going to be my next question. Do you, as a survivor, feel that there's anything that the devs can actually do to stop the tunneling or camping mechanic without, as me and Dylan talked about before, addressing like basically the fundamentals of the game, which is like the hooking system?
I have talked about this so many times, and I really wish that behavior would implement like a hook phase generator progression kind of system, where the game kind of automatically recognizes, hey, this killer has 0 hooks, and hey, free generators are 80%. Let's slow down the game, you know, let's make it longer to repair generators so the killer has more chance to hook people and not get 4 generators done before 1 hook. And, you know, the other way around too, like sometimes you get killers have like 4 hooks in with 0 gens done. And I wish the game would recognize, hey, this killer is really good and really fast. Let's bump up the generator speed so people over, you know, work on it faster. I think that would really help, because I feel like killers camp and tunnel because they feel stressed. They know like with 1 chase, like 2 to 3 generators are done, which is often the case, depending on how quick you can shut it down, of course. And if you just were to implement a system that the game would recognize, it's going too fast, it's going too slow, adapt to that, it would probably make killers more comfortable not tunneling and camping because they know they have more time in the game. They know that the generators aren't almost already done with one chase. You have more time. You can do something.
Okay.
And I really advocate for that, even though it might not be perfect. I think it would probably be the best thing to do because what else are you going to do? You're going to teleport the killer to another location? No, that wouldn't be fair. There's only a very limited amount of things you can do to stop camping and tunneling because sometimes, as you said, camping and tunneling needs to happen at the end game, at one generator in, when all the survivors are around the hook. Like, sometimes it makes sense, and you don't want to punish those killers. I don't want to punish those killers because if all the survivors are around the hook, why would you leave? Mm-hmm. You know, like, you would be crazy not to. So I wish there was some sort of system. It doesn't even have to be my kind of system. That's all I could come up with. But like mm-hmm. some kind of system that it would just balance the game a little bit and per game. Because you can make balances around the game, but each game is going to still be different because each game has different skill levels. Okay. You know?
I do like that idea, but then I'm going to also ask another one. Do you think that the killers that are hardcore tunneling and camping at 5 to 4 gens really care about how the game goes in any direction? Because I personally think that people who do that, they just want to get like a 1K or 2K or just piss people off. I don't think that you're going to stop what they're doing just because generators go faster for them. You know what I mean?
That's true, but I'm not thinking about those people because those mm-hmm. people, as you said, they're going to ruin the game regardless because they just want to ruin games. Mm-hmm. But I want the people that are actually caring about this game and want to play this game mm-hmm. to have the opportunity. You're always going to have rotten apples in the games. You can't stop that.
Yeah.
But I want to give the killers that are actually interested in learning a different killer and playing the actual game to give them a chance. Fair. Like the killers that camp and tunnel just for the fucks of it, just because they want to ruin your game, they're going to do it regardless. They're going to win the game. The game is unfun. You move on and next to the next game.
Okay. I just want to ask that question. I kind of like the idea. I think that sounds really interesting. I just could never think of it way personally how they could stop that. I also never considered the whole, if gens are too fast and there's no hooks, may gens go slower or vice versa with hooks. I never really considered that, and I find it to be really interesting. But I just personally, I don't know how they could change that, though, fundamentally change the game. I don't know if Dylan, you have any other thoughts about it?
No, I think that's, I've never heard that that idea before. Definitely sat and initially I was like, no. But
me too. Initially.
I sat with it because I think we all need to shut up and sit with things sometimes, all of us as players. But I think it's definitely an interesting concept. Yeah, I think the thing is I guess I'll start with what we've talked about before, Dro, is anyone who's listening to this podcast, you're a first time person here. Let me educate you. You cannot stop camping and you cannot stop tunneling because the idea just pause the timer if the killer's within 15 meters. Yeah, but then everyone swarms the hook immediately and the killer's chasing people around it and then the timer's paused. There are these scenarios that you cannot account for. And then we'll make hooks teleport pyramid heads, cages. And I'm like, that's insane. And okay, well now the killer's gonna make it teleport and then people have to run across the map and he's like, I'll race you there because I'm faster, and then he teleports it just creates there are problems and layers of problems in it, and it's there's no game like this because in VHS there's no hook there's no hooking. There's no immobilization of a character. You don't see this in Call of Duty or Fortnite or any of these games. It's the immobilization of a hook existing, a central point to put somebody. That is the core problem. So you have to eliminate that. So hooks don't exist and there's only down states and that's not happening.
Yeah.
So when we talk about Sharon's idea of seeing, there's always going to be the bad actors that are I just got to get one kill super fast and then I win the game. Mm-hmm. And then they just down a guy and they camp him to death and then they play everything else normally. I think those are the campers I see the most, actually. Somebody who just camps the first dude or hovers it a little bit, gets him to stage two, and then starts cleaning up and doing whatever and playing normally. I think in that scenario, I think the idea of I think there's an interesting concept to be had of conditional gen progress or conditional entity progress, right? If the killer has two hooks and three gens are gone for whatever reason, the concept of like, well, the entity progress is 25% faster now. So instead of that dude sitting on the hook for 60 seconds, it's 40 seconds. Hmm. Something like that is interesting, just to give it like an idea of balancing instead of like slowing gens necessarily. Because I think that if it's always on, oh, well, gens just now take 100, 110 seconds, that's never going to fly. And I don't think it'll ever like, oh, let's slow gen speeds down. I prefer that as killer. That makes more sense, and it actually delays the game. Will it ever happen? Absolutely not. No. And that sucks. So, you know, I wish there was something else that could be done. Like, in that vein, to give... the other problem is I can hear the screaming on Twitter now of, like, people being like, well, why should we get punished for being really good at the game? Why don't they just get better? those are the people that don't play killer. Yeah. But... yeah, I think that idea has a really solid foundation to it.
It's just hard to brainstorm something that will be like concrete and then resonate with the community and then actually work and could be implemented. It's very hard. This is why I'm not a game developer. I don't fucking know.
And anytime we come up with ideas like this and we share ideas and we break them down, we talk about them, I go, this happens at Behavior, I would assume fucking weekly, about a number of problems where they sit down and then they go, yeah, but people will hate that. Yeah, well, but what do you do about this situation? Mm-hmm. And then nothing happens because everyone's going to be mad about it. So
it's hard.
The thing is, everyone's going to be mad. Everyone is already mad. So you have to do what's best for the game state. And as you mentioned, like the hook, you said something about the entity progression going faster. That sounds awful in solo queue. That sounds absolutely dreadful.
Well, that was going
to
be
so long for people to already save you sometimes. So you're just going to like, you're essentially punishing solo queuers for being solo queue because the teammates take longer to realize, hey, I need to save. And you're gameplay.
I mean, it would only happen in the event that the killer was way behind, right? So three gens down, now we're getting the first hook. It's not like, again, we're seeing it from the other side. In my mind, I'm like, well, why, like...
why wouldn't it come save?
Well, it's not even that. It's just... so as a killer, it's like, okay, why should their gens go faster? Because I'm doing well. And things like that. So we flip the other side. And it's like, well, then why should the entity progress go faster if we're doing well? Because now I have to rely on teammates. And this is a... okay, well, that doesn't sound... and that's the problem. Is like...
yeah.
If you put it all on gens, or if you try to balance it, and then, you know, so I say this, I think, and I think it's a good segue. Mm. I think when it comes to solo queue, if we can figure out meaningful
changes,
we can't. I'm going to tell you right now, I firmly believe we can't, and I hate saying that, but I don't think there are truly meaningful changes we can make to make solo queue better. Because you have to make players better, and that's not fucking happening.
And that's not happening. But it's like... a great segue, because I also want to segue into this. Because even like, so we talked about this like before, and I kind of want to do a podcast still, and we'll be talking about not just DBD, maybe ASIM games like VHS as well, or like one podcast. Because, you know, I had ideas for like, for example, I want to be able to see my teammates' perk loadouts in lobby, so then I could kind of build around them. Or like if someone hiding a locker, I'm like, oh, that Jayne has head on. So I get it. I'll run over to a log and get head on stun. Or this person doesn't want me to pick them up. Why? Oh, he has power struggle. He's on their pallet. He's okay. So I can just leave him alone, kind of thing, right? But at the end of the day, VHS, for example, you have built-in comms, built-in ping, built-in letting people know exactly where you are. And people still don't act or play the way they are supposed to with that information. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though I still want these things implemented to the solo queue because I want it, you know, like I will use that information for myself and for my own experience. And I think that's good in and of itself. But what Dylan said is true. I don't know how they could implement things to just make the solo queue better if people are just playing bad. But Sharon, if you have any thoughts and opinions on what you would like to change or what you would like, you know, to happen, please let us know.
I I agree with both of you that, you know, you have to make the players better and you just can't. And solo queue is always going to be in a disadvantage of Survivor Friends. It's impossible not to. Otherwise, like, you're going to have to buff survivors and then Survivor Friends gets even more stronger, and that's not what you want. But I do think there are, as you said, things you can do to make it more pleasant. See each other's loadout, see what the where you are, what you're doing. You know, they mentioned on the DBD Dev stream one time, oh yeah, we were going to make it so you can see what they're doing. They're doing a totem, they're running, they're doing a generator, something like that, you know, and, you know, inbuilt kindred and stuff. It will make it more pleasant.
Mm, yes.
But as Dylan said, you're never going to make it perfect. That's impossible, but you can make it better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My stance on it is always you can give baked in kindred health. You can make it so every survivor can see every survivor's aura all fucking game. And there are going to still be some idiots that are like, I can get through 45 seconds of this gen before I have to run across the map and unhook you. I promise I can do it. Yeah. And you're pinging them or you're doing whatever. And they're like, no, like,
so, no, totally.
that's always, or there, you know, there's going to be the, I don't know, the guy who goes for a flashlight save instead of a pallet stun. And you're like, why are you doing this?
So often, you have no idea. And the flashlight that goes above the killer's head. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. You're like, oh, okay.
No, totally. And I think every solo queuer has to just admit and, you know, admit defeat. It's never going to be perfect, but there are things you can improve on. Mm-hmm. And there has to be. Mm-hmm. They have to improve on solo queue. And there are many ways of doing so, both giving us free certain perks, like Kindred, for example, giving us other information like the pinging system, whatever. There are so many options that we probably haven't even thought about that you could do. Oh, but it's 100%. Never going to be perfect, and you just have to, you know, accept that as a solo queue. You know that you're solo queuing. You know the struggles. You understand that. And I kind of like it in a sense. I kind of like raging sometimes at my teammates, you know, yelling like, oh, this team is useless. Like, it gets my adrenaline pumping.
It's good content. I'll tell you what. You know what I mean?
It's great content. My viewers love it when I rage. They find it very entertaining.
I'm very much in the field of, I would like things added to solo queue. The things that like Swips already kind of have, even though it's not built into the game, they know the loadouts, they know where you are, they know if the killer is here to hook. Like, that kind of information is already given to Swift, so I don't understand why giving that to solo queue will impact solo queue that differently. Because even though they add that to the game and Swifts also have those tools, they already had those tools to begin with, so it's not really going to impact the game that much. I don't fully agree with built-in kindred, only because I think seeing a killer's aura is very, very strong, especially
if
it's
around
the hill.
But you know that already in Survivor's Friends.
Yeah, but not exactly, right?
Well, you do, though. People, and I bet you money that Survivor's Friends is like, oh, the killer's running your direction because you see the auras of people.
But it's still mostly just a general thought and not the exact location. Does that make sense?
Okay. Well, hold on. Let's fucking time out.
Kindred is only when the killer's within so many meters of a hook, right? Of the hook, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fuck off, bro. Kindred should be baked
in. Open-handed, excuse me, then it's across the map,
it's
okay?
Not bad.
Right, but if it's baked in, then like the perk would only affect other perks and Kindred would be excluded. Like,
okay,
that rule is pretty
fine.
Easy to implement.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
fair.
Sorry,
that's...
I had a thought.
Because it, like, I was like, does Dro think they can just always see the killer now? I'm so... Yeah, no.
I have seen, for example, two story maps, the game, Midwich, I can see the killer from downstairs, upstairs, downstairs, left, right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean.
The only time
I'm very... Yeah, it's very, very niche situation still. And I'm also thinking about open-handed, because like sometimes... I run Kindred open-handed. They can see the killer's aura from like
it's
miles away.
Phenomenal.
And it's very great. Nice.
But
you know
you're
what I mean?
Gonna rarely see solo queue run all open-handed. That's, you know, that's
okay, fine.
Not
give
really
solo
be the
queue
case.
Kindred.
And you have to think about this way. If you're a killer main, them buffing solo queue is only gonna benefit you, because if they buff solo queue, they can finally actually make proper adjustments to Survivor in general. Because right
that's
now
true.
DBD is stuck, right? DBD is stuck because buff survivors, you're going to screw over. You're going to make survivors' friends even stronger. Nerf them, you're going to make solo queue even more dreadful. And we notice it right now. Killer queues are taking forever. I don't know how long they're taking for you guys, but I've heard 5+ minutes per queues. You have bonus blood points for survivors' friends because a lot of survivors dropped out. And if you were to buff solo queue, the desk can finally not feel stuck between solo queue and survived friends and finally neutralize the playground a little bit. And
no, I would agree with that 100%. No, I would agree.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think let's go ahead. Go ahead, Dylan.
Just a few times. It is interesting. I play at all hours of the day. I usually play around this time of day, which like queue times aren't too bad. Mm-hmm. It's at nighttime where I feel like there's just a metric shit ton of like queue time problems. But it is interesting because that oscillates sometimes, or it used to feel like certain times a day would have different. I've only ever seen the additional blood points for Survivor.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Because
the past like
for sure.
2 weeks. Since it got implemented, it's pretty much been Survivor to my knowledge. I don't play at all given times, but and that's because Survivors are slowly dropping out because killers are getting more and more and more, and solo queue is just not.
Are they dropping out or are they converting?
I think they're converting.
So well, they're converting.
Which is what we've wanted. Well,
even looking at Steam charts right now, the numbers have not changed since April.
Yeah, okay. Well, they're dropping actually, out the numbers out of the Survivor.
The numbers have gone up since April. So they're mostly switching to killer, not so much Survivor, which I get, you know, because killers got a good buff and they feel better to play, and Soul Queue's awful. Not everyone plays Swifts. But I also feel like this is just like kind of like how DVD goes. I feel like it just circulates through to queue times as time progresses. Because I remember when Survivor queue times were like 10, 15 minutes, like nighttime queues, you know.
That's
what I mean?
The thing is, we used to complain not even like 8 months ago about like sometimes Survivor because there wasn't enough killer players. So you had to wait for a killer to get out of a match and then queue to get thrown in another match. And so survivors would sit there with their Swift parties for like 30 minutes.
Oh, I've sat in a lobby for 1.5 hours in 2016. it was awful.
Back in the day.
The worst thing about it? You would wait like an hour for a queue. You get a queue and a killer dodges because they see that you're survived friends and they leave. Right. And you're like, no.
and then I'm also going to segue that with, not segue, but like, so the whole queue time, I'm also like okay with queue times being longer in killer, knowing that there is more killer players out there right now. Only because I feel like Dead by Daylight as a game kind of thrives. Like, it requires there to be a killer base in order for DBD to exist, of course, because I think Survivor is always going to be more accessible to people to play no matter what. So I think that having a longer queue time for killer is like, I'm okay with waiting for a little bit longer if it means more people are playing killer right now. So I also think that's a good thing, because I think for a while, no one wanted to play killer anymore. So queue times are just like instant for killers because no one was queuing up for that stuff anymore because they're just so miserable. And I feel that now that they're going the direction of making sort of killers a little bit better, because sure, a lot of people on Twitter say, well, killer just got a buff. They're easier to play now. Yeah. And is that a bad thing?
That's the point.
You know, that's the whole thing, is to make it a little bit more accessible to people to be able to play. I think there's a lot of things they have to still correct on the killer side personally, but I do think that they're making a good step in the right direction. And I'm very happy that Behavior's also doing things to address camping tunneling. Because like you guys said, Reassurance is the first anti-camping perk we've ever gotten in Dead by Daylight. And that just means that more things would definitely be coming down the line to do stuff like that. You know what I mean? And it's not going to be quick. His behavior is never quick when it comes to things, which we all get why.
I don't think they always should be. I mean, because we're doing it right now.
I'm not saying they should. Because like in the game, you switch like one small metric of a perk's numbers and it changes everything completely. So I understand that balancing DBD is hard. Because on paper, we're like, what's 1.245 seconds? It means nothing to me. And then you play, you're like, oh, that actually feels awful. You know what I mean? But Behavior is a game that, like, very little tweaks make significant changes throughout the entire gameplay. So I understand why it takes a while, but I do believe that down the line, we'll be having a lot more things that will be, like, more anti-tunneling, anti-camping. Because I think as a game DBD, I don't think there's ever going to be something they could physically do to stop that from happening. But they will be adding more things that will discourage or put people more at a disadvantage for doing those things.
Yeah, no, I mean, Behavior has said it themselves. They want to let their players roam free. They want to give you every opportunity to play however your heart desires, which is a good thing for a player, but also a bad thing. But as you said, like, discouraging, that's the main important part. You know, barbecue and chili, when it first came to the game, amazing. People stopped camping, or it was a lot less because people saw where everyone was and they left. Mm. And then slowly, like, I feel like, personally, I believe it's probably the pro scene DBD that kind of dragged it back to camping and tunneling. Whether that's true or not, I cannot confirm, of course, but it kind of feels like when pro scene became bigger, these pro players started like tunneling at 5 to 4 generators, and it became awful. And I do think, like, I agree that it's fine for behavior to take time sometimes, because as she said, one small change screws everything up. But I do think, like, camping atomic took way too long.
Like, yeah.
It took too long. And I wish they've done something quicker about it. But yeah. I mean, at least we're here now, you know, like, at least we're getting there.
I think, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this, because I think it's a good sort of transition moment. But yeah, if we go back to solo queue, all right, we've buffed up Killer a little bit. I would say that it has leveled the playing field now, where the conversation is less about this perk, that perk, or this thing or whatever. It kind of comes around to solo queue.
Yeah.
Gonna go and throw it out there. Don't know about y'all, but when I solo queue as a guy who can time flashbang saves, and I understand the timing on every gen, and like, oh, okay, I have half of a gen is 45 seconds. That person's just got put on hook. I'm running across the maps 20 seconds. Like, I could do all that math and like understand I can't finish that gen. And
yeah,
I'm getting paired with people that I'm not sure have any understanding of what's happening sometimes.
I don't even know what game they're playing.
And that's not like, I am all for new players playing the game, but right now I have a firm belief, and the leaks about the MMR system having a low ceiling of 1600, and then above that doesn't really matter. I think that sort of matchmaking scenario of like just grouping people from all over, it feels like, is, I think, a problem. I think MMR might need to become more specific, but in that is a problem and a concern with population size. If there's not enough players, then do people wait in queue to have a more accurate match, or do they get faster games that are less accurate? Where do you fall? Do you have concerns for MMR in terms of making that matchmaking work? Do you prefer more accurate? Do you prefer faster? You know, where do you think you are with that?
I would love the option to choose, honestly. I'm all about getting the option. So, like, if you let us choose, if we want to have less accurate, turn that on. Like, turn an option on that says, hey, I understand that my queue might be a little bit more messy, but get me in a queue faster. And people who cannot stand that, I understand, I don't want that on, I'm going to wait longer. Like, I think behavior does a poor job of giving you the like an option. Like, for example, with the wiggling, right? Like, they didn't give you a wiggling. It, like, they didn't let you choose which wiggling you wanted to keep. Like, I hate the skill check wiggling, for example. Wait, I hate it, even though it's faster.
Is... In my head, see, this is how little I play Survivor anymore. Did they force us? Because in my head, I'm still hitting AD.
No, you know I'm still, I mean?
Like,
I'm
I have nightmares AD. About AD.
No, they're planning on removing that.
Okay. Well, let's just hope they don't then.
But they're saying, hey, we're going to eventually remove that. And I don't like that. Like, it's already in the game. Why remove it? You know, sure. Why remove an option from us? And especially if the option that we don't choose would benefit us. Because technically, the skill check one is faster, air quotes, faster if you hit all the skill checks.
Yeah, of course.
I suck at skill checks, and I just hate it because I liked, you know, ADing and watching my chen. So I dislike that I can't do that anymore. So I just don't like that they removed the option. So with the MMR, I firstly don't agree with how the MMR works at all. But if you're going to narrow it down, give people option to choose, I want more messy games and faster, or I want more, you know, precise games and it just takes longer. Just let people choose.
Okay.
That way you make everyone happy. The people that want to try it a little bit more and don't want to deal with messy teammates have to just wait a little bit longer. And the people that, you know, love raging at their teammates like myself, they will choose the messy games.
So is this kind of like advocating for like a ranked mode / unranked mode in terms of queue?
Rank and unranked, I don't think will work.
Okay,
like DB is very small. The like right now, sometimes the queue is already struggling. You know, right now, even if, like, yeah, yeah, when it gets later, it takes longer. So if you do an unranked to ranked, that's going to only make it worse. I just wish they would make the MMR system better. Like, I think the whole, oh, you only gain MMR if you survive is absolutely ridiculous. And I think the whole, oh, you only get, like, MMR if you kill is also ridiculous. Like, mm-hmm. I wish... Personally, it was based on more how you do in a chase, like how long you last in a chase, how quick you shut down a chase. I think that's a lot more important. It still brings issues, of course, especially like with like weaker killers like Trapper and such. But like then again, Trapper should probably be in like a little bit of a lower MMR because he's just a weaker killer. So you're going to get easier matches as a Trapper, which allows you to actually play the killer you enjoy and not on a hardcore mode, you know? Mm-hmm.
This is why I was a fan before the MMR change. The emblem system I thought worked really, really well. Because in a sense, like the emblem system just gave you points in all the categories, and then fulfilling those categories will let you pip up or pip down, right? So if you were just doing gens the whole time or you're hiding the whole time and you escaped, doesn't necessarily mean you do pip or you probably will lose a pip, as opposed to the teammate who went and did a generated one for an unhooked did a boon and then died. But because they fulfilled so many other criteria, they were still able to pip up. And I think personally that that worked better. I don't know if y'all disagree or agree with that, but I don't know why they changed the ranking system. They could have still had the MMR, but just used the emblem system as a way to navigate what counted as a win or a loss.
If I, so, okay, just to, there's a lot of babies I'm going to assume listen to the podcast. So if you guys have started playing within the, within 2022, you have no clue what we are talking about. Before MMR, right? Because you have two things in Dead by Daylight. You have your rank, which is red to, you know, I'm going by colors because it's easier that way. you know, you have those. Those do not determine who you play with. I know some of you still tweet screenshots of like, what do I play with these guys? I'm like Eerie 5. And that's not possible. But you know what I mean? And these guys like bronze. That only has to do with like really how often you play.
Only time
play. I am a star-studded survivor player when I decide to pick it up. I'm okay, actually. But you know, I go and I get my flashbang saves, we escape, it's a great time. I didn't make it to silver because I just didn't play it. Yeah. Doesn't mean I'm bad at it. So when it comes to your MMR is a hidden matchmaking system that only your MMR as a survivor goes up if you survive. That's it. Your teammates died. Doesn't matter. You survived. Mm-hmm. Your MMR goes up. As a killer, the game determines MMR based on a 1v1v1v1 system. The way that works as a killer is if two people die and two people escape, your MMR went down twice and it went up twice. Mm-hmm. Two escapes, two kills. So you have to net three or more to get positive MMR as a killer. You can't see any of those calculations. You can't conceivably really know where you stand on that stuff. Before any of that, though, you see all those point values at the end of a match where it's like, here's your chaser score, your emblem, your, you know, your, I was going to say Lightbringer. That's for survivors. But that used to determine the way that your ranks are now, like Eerie 2 or whatever. That used to just be the matchmaking system. Are you a red rank 1 player? That used to be everybody's big flex. I'm rank 1 killer.
Oh, yeah, I post about it every time on Twitter, every time I hit it.
Rank 1 baby! So, you know, it used to be, okay, you're rank 1. We'll try to find you other rank 1s, rank 2s, rank 3s. And if the matchmaking took a while, okay, now we're going to try to maybe find some people that are purple.
Yeah.
Okay, matchmaking's taking a while. It MMR assumedly still sort of works in that way, but with these hidden numbers where it tries to find people and then it expands as needed to find a faster match. I don't know what was wrong. To answer your question, I don't know what was wrong. I know that they, I don't know whether it was their code or something, like every new killer came out and like, we still saw it with Wesker, like certain things just didn't give him points for certain, but like, cause they were bugged, but you know, and like Myers and Billy don't get chase points if they insta down you. So they're automatically penalized. But those things I feel like could just be worked around. I mean,
that's what I thought.
I don't intrinsically understand why the emblem system, which for those of you that don't understand, it's a deeply convoluted system and maybe it just needs overhauled, because it's like, you know, as a killer you start with a ton of points at the beginning of a match for, I don't remember, like the gen defending one, that the emblem you get for that. But you start with a ton of points, and for every gen you lose points, mm-hmm. right? So if you 4K at three gens versus 4King at like gates open in 7 minutes, your point values are going to be significantly different. That system is really complicated, but I think in that complication was a level of being thorough that mostly made sense to me. I mean, explaining that system to people is a headache, but maybe that's not the point. But I think that that was always a better way of like, oh, I got a lot of chaser points, right? Because if you just camp somebody out, then
you don't get enough
chaser points, right?
And I think people liked better because you're able to pip up, pip down. Because like, I feel like a lot, as this come out and share, and feel free to hop in whenever you want.
Just
the fact that like, kills equals win. So more people were camping for kills because it's just easier to get kills that way. Or then escape equals win, which means I'm going to be more selfish and not go for unhooks, not go for saves, not go for heals. I'm going to just knock out gens, which sped up gen progress again. So I could just escape and leave and, you know, to hell to anyone who dies because I got out and I got more MMR.
Yeah. I mean, the emblem system was complicated in a good way, but it just didn't work. Mm. Like, the amount of times I would be rank 1 and I would get a rank 20 in my lobby was a lot. And I agree they should have just worked on that instead of making a whole new system that took them so many, like, so many hours, so many resources. They should have just improved on the emblem system. I've always said I would have loved to see an hour matchmaking, like, you know, keep the people with under 50 hours in between, like with each other, 50 to like 100 hours in between each other. Maybe like, you know, go a little bit up and down depending on the queue times, 100 to 500 in like together, 500 to 1000 together, and 1000 all in the same mess. Because if you have 1000 hours, you might not be great, but you have the knowledge to play, and there's still a different level. Like, I mean, I have 9000 hours and I'm awful at the game. Like, I'm so much more knowledgeable than I am mechanically.
That's fair.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of knowledge, and I could definitely tell you, oh, this went wrong, that went wrong, but mechanically I'm just not the best, and that's fine, you know, that happens. Not everyone can be mechanically good. I've accepted that my role is better to be, you know, teaching people, oh, this is what you do in this situation, this is how you do it. I can't show you properly because I suck, but this is how you do it, you know. And I just think like an hour ranked system would make it more enjoyable as well, because if you would like put all the 1k hour people against each other, 1k plus, you would still see a variety of like spice and skill levels, but you don't feel like you're stuck with 10 hours. And that right now in the MMR system, it feels like you're stuck with sometimes 10 hour survivors. And that's frustrating. And I'm sure the hour system wouldn't work perfectly either, but nothing works perfectly. But I've thought about this so many times, and I just feel like that would make the most sense to me. Mm-hmm. That would, you know, like, that would, you would actually keep the people that are brand new out of our games, which should be the people that should never be in our games, because how more you're going to keep new people in our games, how more you're going to get rid of them as fast, because no one wants to get stomped for 20 games in a row. That's just not enjoyable on either side, you know? Like, I feel like a lot of times I have a lot of newer viewers in my community. And a lot of the times I hear people say, yeah, I quit. It just, I couldn't make it work. I kept going, you know, I kept getting wrecked consistently. And that breaks my heart, because this game is so fun and so amazing. And it has its issues. And if behavior was just better at keeping those new people out of the game, I think this game would grow better. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you're just kind of bullying people away at the point, which is unintentional, but it happens.
Just to clarify, because I think just you said keeping like lower hour people out of the game. I think you mean to say, just for the people listening, that to like grouping them, not keeping them out, but like keeping them like together. Keep them out of my
MMR, like higher skill people, not out of the game. No, I don't want to get rid of you guys.
I agree with your sentiment as well, because Dead by Daylight, because being like one of the only game of its kind really that's working right now, it's a very hard game just to pick up in general. I think for me to pick it up, I had to watch a lot of streamers, a lot of YouTube videos, tutorial videos, how to play videos, or just watch people play in general for just me to learn basics. Because it's also a game that the more you learn, the more you play, the better the game gets, in my opinion. So I do agree that putting like someone who just started against like me, the number one death slinger in North America and probably the whole world, it's just not fair.
Yeah, I was going to say the number one slinger in Nova Scotia.
Which no, I know where that is, by the way.
Sure.
But I agree. I agree with that. But then I think it also just comes down to like, what is our player base? Can we divide the player base that much? How long would new people be waiting for a queue? Because if I were to play a game, I'd much rather get stomped than wait for 20 minutes to get stomped. So I'd much rather just get in there quickly and get it done. So it's a lot of factors. And I don't know how many people play Dead by Daylight. I'm assuming it's like in the 100,000s, if not higher.
I'd say 300,000.
Yeah, something like that, right? It's combining like all the consoles plus Steam plus Stadia plus all that stuff. But it's just, don't know, like, it's hard. But what can we do?
But it's like, even if you put the newer players against 100 hours, that's still better than putting them against 1K hours, you know? Like, you don't have to narrow 0 to 50, that's it. It never goes, like, you can go a little bit outside of that, and the queue time can pick that up, but you should never, ever, I should never see someone with 50 hours in my game. And the amounts of times I've seen that is just a lot.
I want to pull the community, because I think that I think humans are conditioned to remember experiences that were particularly shocking or weird. Mm-hmm. Or so I know in my head, it'd be really easy to be like, every time I play against this killer, they're an asshole. And then so everyone's like, oh, it's that killer. But you know what I mean? Like, it's easy just to kind of draw conclusions. So if you guys are playing Survivor, Killer, whatever, if you're on Steam, because you can only really see this on Steam, let us know over the course of the next few days how many sub 50 hour players that you play with or against in comparison to yourself and the rest of the team, right? So if you're playing Survivor and you got 400 or 500 hours and there's like a 20 hour Andy on your team, screenshot that, send it to tweet about it. I would love to see a little bit more evidence to back it up, because I think I hear the complaint about like new players a lot, which, to be fair, new players, you are not the problem. It is the matchmaking that is the problem.
Clarify that.
But I would love to see some sort of data. If we could get 300 screenshots and I could make a table of like, okay, this is happening significantly. Well, I couldn't do a lot with it because I would need to know how many matches you played that day and how often. And blah, blah, blah. But if it's happening with some level of frequency, then there is some legitimacy to that. You know, it really shouldn't ever happen in an MMR world where, unless it's a Smurf account where somebody like myself, I have a Smurf account, don't look at me, you know, gets on and they're super good and they're cracked at the game and they're just bullying killers or whatever. That sometimes happens. It is rare. But I kind of want to see. So if you guys are out there, this is your this is your homework. I'll see you next week.
Professor Dylan KG and Jesus,
the worst. But yeah, so I think, you know, MMR has a range and there's a low end that should have like a ceiling so that people aren't exceeding it, and then there's this high end that's like 1600. It goes like, these are all pseudo numbers, I don't know if they're real, but it's like 1600 to like 2400 is the MMR, right? But above 16, everybody's grouped together. Really, it doesn't matter that much. Which is weird. I get it. It's for matchmaking times, blah, blah. But, you know, Sharon's definitely correct. You shouldn't ever be playing with somebody who's got 20 hours. That just really shouldn't be happening. So if you guys see this, click on profiles. Let us know. Tweet us. What's the handle, Dro, on Twitter?
I'm on yours, PC. It stands for podcast, not computer, but that's all we can get.
We are both PC mains.
But yeah, Sharon, if you have any final thoughts or anything you want to add, feel free.
I have a fun question for you.
Oh, let's go.
What killer do you hate playing against the most? Like, just awful, awful experience.
I mean, Nurse. Yeah, Nurse. That's fair. Think she shouldn't be in the game. End of story.
Damn, you and Dylan literally had the same thought.
Yeah, that's the video I just read today, by the way. Dylan full
face looked at the camera and said, delete Nurse, dude.
It just doesn't make sense to have a killer that goes against every game mechanic. And I truly believe that Nurse is the reason why you cannot buff killers too much. Because if you buff killers, you're going to buff Nurse, and then you're going to make this game even more painful to go against Nurse. And Nurse is so popular right now. And I truly think Nurse and Blight with his strong add-ons are kind of gatekeeping this game to make the overall killers better. And I just don't agree with Nurse being a thing. Like every game, like every killer has to deal with the game mechanics, and she just doesn't. Even Blight does. His add-ons are a little bit debatable on my end. But Alchemist Blight Ring itself, with like basic add-ons or no add-ons, completely fine. Nothing wrong with, fun to play against. But Nurse, you can play zero perks, zero add-ons. Nurse is just not fun. It's just so unenjoyable. And I just wish she was gone. I mean, it doesn't help that every Nurse player I run into plays so only sweaty. No, but not only Nurse, but they play so sweaty. They try out, they have a 4 anti-gen meta perk build. They tunnel, they slug, they camp at 4 generators. Like, my guy, you're playing the strongest killer. At least let us have fun. At least try to loosen up a little bit. Like, that I can respect. If you play Nurse, you really enjoy her. I get it. You're enjoying her. You're allowed to play her. But play fun, at least. You're going to win the game anyways if you're good. You don't have to try hard. You don't have to tunnel us out of the game instantly. It's just, like, I understand it a lot more from a Trapper than I will ever from a Nurse. Yet, I get tunneled by a Nurse so much more than a Trapper.
Flip side now, what's your favorite killer diverse? Now I want to know.
Billy!
Billy, yeah.
Billy has always been my favorite. He has a special place in my heart. I just enjoy him. I'm so sad that they gutted him. I wish they didn't. I'm so sad and angry at Behavior still for doing that.
Weird Billy's how Behavior nerfs the most beloved killer, but doesn't touch the most hated. Weird.
It's so conspiracy funny. Theory?
Don't do this. People will take you seriously. God.
That is so
funny. I was going to say, just on the flip side, I was going to say, because like Sharon said Billy, and I was going to say, yeah, me too, because I always escape against Billy's, because people try him, and then they're like, fuck, that's awful.
Oh, I've gotten destroyed by Billy's before. It's still a great experience.
I've been destroyed a few times. It's just rare. It's like so rare, I love this. I actually love versing Billies, because they'll get really close to a really sick curve, and then they'll just stand there the rest of the match and practice it.
Let's go.
All sit there and eat popcorn. Like, let's go.
Feel that. Yeah. I remember one match particular with the hillbilly. He was doing that, and I stood there and I nodded at him. He nodded at me, and we went at it for the entire game. I'm like, I don't care about Benzie. You could kill me afterwards, but you got this curve, Billy. You got this. And it was good. I did the same thing with like Deathslinger. I see this shot. I'm like, I could get this shot, I think. So I just sit there for 10 minutes trying to chase him back to that shot because I just want to do it again. And it finds to be like so much, so enjoyable, dude. I just love it. Same thing with like Pyramid Head. I just love whenever someone's at a loop. I'm like, I could hit you with this M2. I'm going to miss 25, but I'm going to hit 2 eventually, and you're going to go down. And it feels so good.
Nothing it's better so than a good fun. Shooting gallery. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's what like scratches the brain for me in Dead by Daylight when I play Killer. I don't care anymore about getting 4Ks. I don't care anymore about whatever. And like, if I get a cool shot in this game and I could be like, that was nice. That's all I care about, you know? Mm-hmm. And I find
being
fun
able
in
to play
that.
The game. And then
I have survivors being like, oh my God, that was such a fun thing just to try to dodge your shooting. I'm like, I know, if only the rest of your teammates were running hyper focus and stakeout and doing all the generators in 5 seconds, we could have had more fun.
Do you have any quick, fast opinions for us that we didn't get to cover today?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think we covered all of the survivor specifics, you know, like MMR system. I do feel like MMR impacts survivor more than killer, because you have three random teammates that have, you know, it feels like you're playing with all sorts of different skills. I feel like we covered pretty much everything like that survivors struggle with, that survivors have fun with, and that they need to work on, quite honestly.
Okay. Well, quick, if you had to implement one thing right now into solo queue survivor, what would it be?
Or solo queue survivor?
Mm-hmm.
Free Kindred, so free I could Kindred. Stop running the perk and I have an extra perk slot for something else.
You did it to BT, you coward.
What's exactly. Do it again, I dare you.
All right.
Yeah, no. Cher, where can the people find you? All the best places to find you.
Probably my Twitch channel. I'm not active on most social media. No, I don't like it. I've muted 90% of the DVD community. I'm so tired of the drama. Twitch is just the best. I stream 5 days a week, 6+ hours. I love having discussions. Come on over, talk about what you disagreed with. I'm all in for it.
Mm-hmm. And we'll leave her information in the description below as well. So
yeah, just one more time for the audio listeners. What is your Twitch? Because it's not just Sharon.
It is Sharon, just Sharon. Mm. Twitch.tv/Sharon. Yeah.
Okay, so Twitter was the debit. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here. It was awesome to hear your. I think you enlightened me with your sort of ideas on like a dynamic gen progression, regression, mm-hmm. slowdown sort of system. I think it's very interesting. There's something really cool there, and I hope that the conversations we've been able to have here have sparked some meaningful thought, not just people frothing at the mouth, but
probably meaningful dialogue.
Yeah, it always does. Actually, it doesn't. We always talk like the people that listen to us are like super like rabid, but they're so tame they don't tweet at us often. Tweet at us more, please.
Yeah, please.
Give it time. This podcast will grow, and you will have some haters.
I'm okay with the haters, baby. I can handle that.
It's the other podcasters that already hate us.
Right? this podcast is my favorite thing to do in the world, and it makes me happy that people like you even want to come on and reach out.
I loved it. When you messaged me, I was like, yes!
It's just so cool. And this is like a really great discussion podcast, I think. Yeah. I think it's going to resonate really well with the community. I think we covered a lot. We had a lot of different opinions, but also have a lot of middle ground, apparently. Apparently, killers and survivors have middle grounds when it comes to ideas.
Wow, would you believe it?
The world isn't binary.
And with that, y'all, follow the podcast on Twitter. I'm All Ears PC. Follow us on YouTube as well. I'm All Ears. I'm going to make the custom URL very soon. I just don't know what to call it right now because I'm All Ears is taken, which is annoying, but follow us there as well. You guys are showing us a lot of love on YouTube, which is awesome. We want to grow on there as well because me and Dylan want to blow this shit up. We have ideas, we have plans, so stick around, listen, and thank you so much. And Dylan, where can we find you? Because you're streaming again, baby.
I am. So I'm going to take a second to plug myself. So I have come back to YouTube and I come back to Twitch. Twitch.tv/DylanKG. Luckily not taken. And youtube.com/DylanKG. Wild. But what I will say is I just got done rendering out today a 11-minute discussion piece on Nurse. It kind of is just a piggyback on things that Vulpixia said last week and things that we discussed and talked about. And it is further kind of fleshing out the idea that I had given in the podcast, because I don't think a lot of people that listen or follow me on like YouTube listen to the podcast, right? So it is a video that kind of deep dives into Nurse's history. It goes into it's like a video essay. I'm super fucking proud of it. It's my first video back in 8 months, so that'll be uploaded soon, so keep an eye on that over on YouTube. Streams are sporadic. I stream when I can because I got a big boy job, but I love seeing you guys come through, and there have been a lot of new people that have come through and been like, hey, I watch Dro all the time. I never see you. And that's always really cool. Also, Dro, just as a side note, maybe we change all of the @s for consistency. Mm-hmm. Maybe we do IAE podcast. Like,
oh, you know what?
I doubt that's taken. I don't think that's taken on either. Twitter and YouTube.
I think we can. IAE podcast. All right, we'll do that today. So never mind. Scratch everything I said. Follow us on Twitter at Twitter IAE podcast and YouTube.
I hope you check IAE. It and it's gone.
Be making an account real quick.
I'll make a post on Twitter about which I guess you can't find us on Twitter if I change your name, but just look one of those up, you know. And you guys can check me out at twitch.tv/hydro. That's HIDRO. Stream 5 days a week. You guys, y'all know how it is. But yeah, thank you guys so much for being here. Take care of yourselves and goodbye.